everything that is created by Allah, which is the creation of Allah. Allah Ta'ala has put life into His creation. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has created, it is based on life and it is living. And to be living, to be alive, hayat, then you need to have the ruh, the soul. If there is a soul and a ruh inside something, then it is alive. And if there's no ruh, then it is not alive, it is dead. So everything in the universe, or in the creation of Allah, the whole of the universe is alive. And if it's alive, then it has a ruh. Obviously it's got a ruh, the soul, there it's alive. Everything that Allah Ta'ala has created all around us, that we don't even know the different corners of the universe. And even those who have studied, they don't know the extent, the vastness, how wide is the universe Allah has created. And it's alive. And it's alive because it's a ruh. So what is the ruh of the universe? The soul. It is the dhikr of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. The whole universe which is established at this moment in time, whatever is alive in the world, in the universe, is based on the ruh. It's ruh, it's soul. And the ruh, the soul of anything that's living, is the dhikr of Allah. So imagine how important is the dhikr of Allah. Even the smallest thing, a leaf, a tree, a twig, a flower. Take anything we have around us, all of the creation, the ruh, it is based on its ruh, it is dependent on its ruh, and the ruh which makes it alive is the dhikr of Allah. It's a very famous hadith that when the dhikr of Allah stops, ceases, then Allah Ta'ala will bring this world to an end. Obviously, if a person's ruh comes out, then he is dead. So when the ruh is extracted, the universe's ruh is extracted, the universe will become lifeless. What is the ruh in this universe? There will be nobody left doing the dhikr of Allah. There will be nobody left stating the name of Allah. And in such a way, it's so azeem is the dhikr of Allah. Look at the greatness of the dhikr of Allah. That this universe, to sustain it, to look after it, dhikr is such a force, a power, a strength, such a big strength and power, that even if there'll be one person alive who is remembering Allah, Allah Ta'ala says that this universe, this world will not come to an end. It will be existent. What a great, great fact that Allah Ta'ala has made His dhikr, His remembrance. If we think that such a great action, the dhikr of Allah, and if a person is negligent of the dhikr of Allah, that man, that woman, that home, that house, what a big punishment for that household, for that family, for those people. Such a ghadab and a lanat, a curse, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't give the tawfiq for to those people to remember Him. And how azeem in the eyes of Allah is that man, that woman, that insan, individual, who Allah Ta'ala has given the capability to do His dhikr. This is Allah's standard. We don't understand this. This is the standard of success. Our minds, our brains, our logic, our habits don't accept this fact. Yes, and aqeedah, when people, when haqiqat, reality, when a person is ignorant of reality, this is the adab of Allah. There's no greater kitab than the Qur'an. Is there? Is there any kitab, book greater than the Qur'an? But naturally, our tabiat doesn't go towards the Qur'an to accept it. What great facts Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran. And there are things that we haven't accepted. There are things that we haven't accepted that are in front of us. That maqam, the darja, the status of the Quran, it is not in our homes, in our lives, in our minds, in our hearts, in our practice. We don't appreciate and value the Quran and its contents. We don't. The value we should have, the appreciation we should have for the kitab of Allah, azeem kitab Allah has given to us. So the reality is that we are lost. We are detached. We have left the great things that Allah Ta'ala has given. That's why Allah Ta'ala said on the Day of Judgment, Allah said in the Quran, I will say, on the Day of Judgment, the Quran will complain. that Allah, this individual, these people are standing in your court today, these men and women who are destined for Jahannam, who call themselves Muslims and had Iman, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَةِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, not on one kitab, on all your kitabs, Allah, they said they believed. That when Isa alayhi salam's qawm came, they were on one thing, Musa alayhi salam's qawm was one thing, Dawud alayhi salam. But these Muslimin, the Adeem qawm, the greatest nation, they had Iman on everything, Allah Ta'ala, that you had sent. Me and you, us, Alhamdulillah. Tell me, how great a status Allah Ta'ala has given to this Ummah of the Muslimin. That we are in our eyes, the Torah, Injil, and the Zabur, the Torah, everything is sacred for us. It is great for us. The Kitabs of Allah, the books of Allah, they were given to prophets, Allah's messengers. So just this Ummah, the final Ummah, is such an Ummah that forget the previous Ummahs and the Kitabs. Let's look at this Qur'an that Allah has given us, and we've left the Qur'an. There are so many Hafidh who have forgotten the Qur'an. So many Hafidh. You cannot count, you'll lose count. Their mother and father, they have encouraged their children to do hifs and hifs and hifs, and they want their children to become Hafidh. But so many Hafidh, they learned the Qur'an and then they've replaced it with khaba'ith, with evil and with nonsense. We don't even have a chance to sit down and say to our children, revise the Qur'an. So many sisters, mothers, daughters who have taken this Qur'an, and in their lifestyle they went to Darul Uloom, they went to the institutions, they attained degrees, theology. They graduated from the Islamic institutes, and there was celebration when they graduated. But what is their hal today? Those women, those daughters, what are they doing with their deen? Can anyone imagine that this woman, if he sees her, and can you imagine she studied Bukhari Sharif? Allahu Akbar. That she studied Siha Sitta? The authentic kitabs. Is this that girl? That girl, that sister, who herself, she recited the verses of Parda and the commentary of the verses of segregation. And this girl, she learnt about halal, haram, lawful, unlawful, how to be in front of the ghayr mahram, the unlawful male. Can anybody imagine? If that girl is told that this is that girl, if she's, and no aql mind will accept and understand that, huh? This is that sister. She studied, she has the knowledge and understanding. So tell me, there's such an azeem deen Allah has given to us, and the resources and the summary of all of this, the summary is that everything is sealed in the dhikr of Allah, Allah's remembrance. So those who do dhikr of Allah, what are they doing today with the dhikr of Allah? Let's have a look at that as a fact. The one is those who have become detached from dhikr, who don't come close to dhikr, and those who have accepted dhikr, what is their hal today? How ungrateful they are, how they treat dhikr. We have to beg them, remind them, we take criticism for reminding them, and take criticism from them, and swearing, and mocking, and disrespect, and though they get angry, and if you say something against them, they don't even ask. Silsila is finished, bayah finishes, sheikh goes, within a minute, everything's wasted and put down the drain. Oh, he spoke against me, oh, why did he say this to me? Within a second, the person changes. People change their color, their tone. They've forgotten that I learnt Allah's name from here, from this company. I had no awareness, no knowledge of the deen. Within seconds, we rub it in the dirt. From the tongues, we speak nonsense and rubbish. And with our hands, we look at rubbish. And within a second, that same individual loses himself. This is Allah's karam and mercy that He has kept this universe established. A pious elder stated that the greatest miracle of Allah is that I am sat on the earth, even now I'm wandering on the earth, that the earth has not swallowed me due to my bad deeds, due to my misdeeds, due to my sins. I accept we touch the Quran, we kiss it, we embrace it. But that Quran, when we read it, we should leak morning to night how much of our life reflects the Quran. We just follow our opinions and our desires and our feelings. Let's just follow the Quran. So my brothers, Allah's universe exists, it's hinging on the dhikr of Allah. Why does that dhikr not come into our life? So how can we be alive? In the hadith it is stated, if one item in the universe, when it leaves dhikr of Allah, at that same time it dies, it passes away. The fish comes into the net, that fish that leaves dhikr of Allah. You may have put the net out in the sea, you fishermen, you know, fishermen in the rivers and the sea. Have you ever seen when a fish is caught, in the net. Do you know? You don't have a choice that I want to catch this fish, a salmon, etc. There are millions in the sea. So which fish get trapped in the net? Those fish get trapped in the net that just for a split second, small minute portion of a second, it left the dhikr of Allah. It gets caught in the net, dies. And me, you, what are we? What status have we got? We walk around in the world and we think roti keeps us alive or pilau rice is keeping us alive? Is it? And these masala and the food and the dishes, that if we want life, there's only one commodity, dhikr Allah. Dhikr, grab hold of it. Allah's remembrance. From today, make it your life, that the whole universe, including your lives, my life, is pivoting on, dependent on the dhikr of Allah. Reliant on the dhikr of Allah. A great favor of Allah indeed. That Allah says, if I've made the whole universe alive based on the dhikr of Allah, Allah has made a group of people, a group of human beings who sit down and Allah Ta'ala makes them, allows them, permits them to do His dhikr. Imagine the freshness, the revitalization of the universe. Allah says, the sketch of the world changes within a second when a jamaat sits to do dhikr of Allah and it remembers Allah. Suddenly the map of the world changes from Jannah, the peaks of Jannah, to the depths of the earth. There's a clamor, a noise, a vibration. Millions of angels descend, that from the earth to the heavens, there are angels upon angels celebrating that gathering of dhikr of Allah. And we, what do we know? Bala, we want pounds, we want heard music, and harmony, and singing, and enjoyment, and festivals, and food, and feasts. We think this is what we've done about our home, outside, our children, our wife. We just want playing games, singing and being merry and just enjoy ourselves. Information, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to give us information. Mubashir wa Nadhir came with the glad tidings that dhikr of Allah transforms the universe. That we are running around like donkeys presenting our needs to the world. We're crazy, asking for du'as to Allah. I want this desire, I want that desire. We don't have the tawfiq to do dhikr kathir and kathira. Anybody said time of tahajjud, wake up, do dhikr and ask in the court of Allah. Allah will give. Allah will give what we need. Dhikr is a great action. It will give the result. Oh, tell me a formula, please. Tell me an action I can do. Give me an amal, an action. We run around asking for dunya. Allah has given us the amal. The foolish people, do my dhikr if you want me to be pleased with you. Just remember me. Automatically, I'll give to you. I'll remember you, Allah says in turn. You remember me, I'll remember you. Allah says, you are ghafil. You are negligent, lazy. Oh, then why do you ask for me? How can I give to you when you don't even remember me? So those who have learned dhikr, don't become monkeys and apes. Become human beings. Don't be animals. Appreciate, value the dhikr according to its right. That Allah has given me dhikr. Don't be fussy and complain. I don't have time. Allah's adab is severe. That Allah, ask Allah forgiveness for your nonsense and the rubbish that we have committed with our hands, with our anger. Oh, I do. I get angry if I don't get what I want in the day, or I feel uncomfortable or not satisfied, then I complain against dhikr. So the first thing in the universe is what? What is keeping the world alive? What is the soul of the universe? Dhikr of Allah. Okay, point number one. Let's continue. Insan, the human being. Yes, Allah Ta'ala created the human being. So have we not got our ruh? If somebody asks what's our ruh, we say work. What's my soul? Work, riyal, pounds, currency. This is our life. MashaAllah, we embrace the pound. We hide it under the pillows. In the night, we count our notes that I sold this much today. I know I sold 5,000, but I'll count it again. Is it 5,000 or is it 5,000 less? I need to count again. And we have machines. We'll go back to the tills. We'll keep on opening the till, pressing the buttons, ping, opening up. Is it less today? Is the turnover less? And on every machine, on every till, we'll see a person. How does he sleep? We don't know how those people sleep in the night. I cannot imagine. How do they sleep if they can't count? Because this is our life. Our ruh, our soul is in the money. But we are dead. Allah says, you're deceased. Deceased. Insaniyat, what is the ruh of the humanity? I question you. Do you know what is the ruh? Do you know how we are alive? How we are existing? Do you know, brothers? Fakirs, this is how we talk amongst the fakirs. Yes, our Hazrat said this, that these precious words are what we share. Yes, do we know? This is how we discuss it. These are tortke, little broken pieces of phrases, etc. that we are discussing. You probably would not have heard this regularly. So listen, that what is the ruh of humanity? Listen clearly. What is humanity? All human beings that are here in the world, Within, if a person has that within him or her, he's alive, she's alive. If he doesn't have it, if he doesn't have it, that person's dead. Allah's decided. You can see that person eating, healthy, and he is getting married, having children, working in the world, traveling. Allah says that person is not alive, he doesn't have life. Because he doesn't have that resource. For example, Allah says in the universe, if there's no dhikr in the universe, that universe is not alive. So in the same way, that human being or those human beings don't have this element within them, they are not alive, they are deceased. What is that element, that factor? Insaniyat, humanity, the ruh of human beings is shariyat mutahara. Say subhanallah. Glory be to Allah. Have I told you a new word? No. It's not a new word. It looks new to us, isn't it? In Allah, what is it? Shariyat. Allah's principles, Allah's commandments, Allah's rules, Allah's rules, Allah's laws. What do we call this? This is termed Shariat. In that humanity, circle of humanity, in that environment, society where there is Sharia, those people will be alive as human beings, that environment will be alive, say subhanAllah. Subhanallah. This is not about arguing, dispute. You can say I'm alive, but Allah's defined life, vibrancy, as those who follow His commandments, in which, in their lives, in their societies, there's Sharia. Yeah? That house is alive. That home, that family, not I'm eating halal meat, halal batere, and halal birds, and I do qurbani and Eid al-Adha. This is not the way to stay alive. That house and family is alive in which there's Sharia, the law of Sharia. That country will be alive in that country where there's Sharia. Humanity, those people who are human beings will be alive within whom? There's Sharia. Following Allah's commandments, rules, principles. And the second, in where there is no Sharia, then they're deceased. Not alive. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now we need to see, my brothers, that are we alive on the basis of humanity? Have we got humanity, the crux of humanity within our lives? If we want to be termed alive in Allah's eyes, if we want to be defined as alive by the definition of Allah, then we should live our lives according to Allah's principles and rules and laws. Although there's nothing to argue about. We're not arguing or debating, because then the person who's deceased will do all the wrong actions. He'll do all the wrong. Do you understand what I'm saying? You're right? The person who's deceased, he'll decay, he'll rot, the mice will eat him, and the animals will come, and the dogs will come, they'll start devouring the deceased flesh. Because when a human being dies, so jinnat, shaitan, that house, that becomes dark and empty. That person's not alive, so he's being devoured. That house, that society is being eaten away. Oh, how did this problem come upon us? Difficulty, we did this in our country, we revived things, we did this, why have we got problems? Look, that country within which there is no Sharia, then that is like a dead mouse. A dead mouse. It doesn't matter what resources they have, but they have nothing. They're begging. They're begging. Is it not the case? Is it not the case? Have we ever thought this? Why? Because we don't have life, we're eating. Yes, because the dead person is devoured by the animals, the insects, the spiders. So in the same way, we're being devoured. It's like rotten flesh. And another point to understand, another sort of point to mention in passing, that Shariat also has a ruh. Even Shariat has a life, say subhanallah, subhanallah. What is that? If that item, resource, commodity is not there, then Sharia is not there. Even though we may say we've got Shariat. Shariat will not be alive if the ruh of Shariat is not present. And what is the ruh of Shariat? Only then can that we say is Shariat. Yes, if you're praying Salah, it's a Shariat Salah. And Shariat Salah is prayed at that time when you have the ruh, which is defined as the ruh of Shariat. Do you understand the example? Or shall I explain in more detail? Shariat commandments, even the commandments of Sharia has a ruh. So as I said, that if a person is alive, he has to be alive through Sharia. And then if a person says he's got Sharia, he has to have the ruh of Sharia, the soul. Otherwise he is dead. Same way as the beginning. What is the name of the ruh of Sharia? Sunnat-e-Sharifa. Say it again, subhanallah. Say it again, subhanallah. And again, subhanallah. And this is the crux of the matter. Am I right? Am I wrong? The respected ulama scholars are here. Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong. Clear? Shariat is also not Shariat, will be rejected. Any action, you can do it in the name of Sharia. If the Sunnah Sharifa is not in that action, involved in the action, then that person is deceased. And those actions are not accepted in this world or the hereafter, which are devoid of the Sunnah Sharifa, rejected. Rejected. What a beautiful formula. So two things we need to grab hold of. SubhanAllah has taught us. One is dhikr Allah. And what is the second thing? Sunnate Sharifa. Subhanallah. And that's it. Job done. Job done. End of, as we say, isn't it? End of. But we have discarded these things. We've let them off the noose. Subhanallah, off the rope. So today I've discussed for us to understand. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Let's do dhikr kathira. This is a great name of Allah, great gift of Allah. If we do dhikr, we won't be deceased. Forget about deceased. Then you will make the other things in the universe alive. What a beautiful famous hadith. One mountain asks the other mountain, subhanallah, that has any person passed by you today who was doing the dhikr? Well, imagine. That what a great value. The mountain is asking the other mountain, has anyone passed by you today who is doing dhikr of Allah? Why? Because the mountain gets alive due to that dhakir. Even if he passes by the tree, for a few moments, a dhakir, if he sits for a few moments under that tree can absorb that power. It becomes the tree of paradise. An animal, if you sit on an animal, a dhakir, whether it's a horse or a donkey, or a mule, or a horse, or a car, or an aeroplane. If a dhakir sits on that transportation, then even the aeroplane will become happy that the dhakir is sat in me today. Remembering Allah, this is the value of the dhikr of Allah. Hadith proves this. So we should become such human beings. Allah Ta'ala has brought us to this extent that let us bring dhikr into our lives. Let's immerse ourselves into dhikr, tie ourselves into dhikr, and never leave dhikr, and promise to ourselves. The most foolish person in the world today is that person who is rejecting dhikr, which is the soul of the universe. He says, no, I don't want to do dhikr, I don't feel like it. They're foolish, stupid individuals, and very bad conclusion will be that human being. His life will come to a bad conclusion if he leaves dhikr. And if that person's life, if his dhikr is being stolen, and if shaitan or his nafs or whispering of shaitan is saying nonsense to him, and he speaks nonsense from his mouth, from his hands, he goes against dhikr, then consider that person is destroyed. He's gone down the path of destruction. He's out of control. He should do istighfar, kathira, ask Allah for forgiveness, and he should say, I've done wrong. Allah, you gave me such a great reward. How can I leave dhikr of Allah? This was my path, this was the resource that would take me towards Allah Ta'ala's nearness, and I used to sit and do dhikr of Allah, and I've forgotten it, or left it, or criticized it. And the second point, my brothers, the sunnah sharifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not something we can leave. Do this, do what we want, leave what we want. This is mustahab, this is perfect, this is ghayn muqadda, no reward. Totally, this was not the standard of the sahaba akram. The Quran, I can put the Quran in my head and say, I swear by Allah, there's no ghayn muqadda, mu'akkada, mustahab, preferable and desirable. No. No disclassification. The Sahaba Kram came to learn that Rasulullah did this, they would give their life and their wealth. That this is the action we will do because it's sunnah. End of story. And this is the standard of the Ashikeen. Obviously, if our life is existing based on sunnah, we get the proof that Rasulullah did this, this was his tariqah. Then put that into practice in your life and see how the storm of barakah will come low. I will give you two actions of sunnah today, and then we'll conclude with doing dhikr of Allah. There's a hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, sunnah of Rasulullah. I've shared this with you before, and I'm sharing again. The discussion we have here, this is not a speech, this is not a taqreer, this is not for rejoicing, this is not ilam, this is not bayanat. I'm just discussing for this reason, so that Allah Ta'ala, He will grab us severely. It's a great reward if we practice it, but if we discard it, we'll be severely punished. If we bypass this deen, we will earn a big loss. Listen carefully today and make near today. Inshallah, I will do amal on this platform of deen. We cannot be saved. We cannot escape. We cannot escape. This will be hisab. Today Allah will account and question us on the day of judgment. No man can be saved if he's received these words in his ears and brain. He doesn't do amal on this, what we've discussed today. He will be grabbed severely. But the person who's practiced this, Allah makes him his friend. Two clear extreme opposites. I'm saying, don't think it's a game. Don't think it's your choice. If you come, you've heard. If you've heard, you have to practice. If you discard it, reject it, you'll be grabbed severely. If you've come to this majlis, Ajib Majlis, has Ali Murtaza Ramdhulai Quddus Zura. This is his majlis, his gathering, my sheikh's gathering. And this gathering, there's no drama, it's a speech, do what you want, say what you want. I sit on this prayer mat, I swear by Allah, when I come to the prayer mat, the words come to my mind and I present them to you. I don't make this up. How this comes, complete subject. No hadith did I recite, no nothing did I study, no Quranic verse, no hadith before I came, I did dua to Allah. Allah, I'm a fakir, I need akhirah, we need akhirah. Allah, give us something beneficial so I can learn, my friends can learn. I sit on the prayer mat. Allah Ta'ala, what beautiful words He explains and makes us understand. Subhanallah. No speech. No speech. No pre-planned speech. Yes, it looks like I'm giving a speech. Does it look like? No. Just broken down words that people listen around the world. Comments come, feedback. Thousands of people listen, mashallah. Allah's preparation. Allah's preparation. Because Rasulullah s.a.w.'s love, Allah's love, He was Allah's Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wanted to save the Ummah. Today we're in the generation of fitna. Such a big generation of fitna. We don't understand. We have media today. We have social media. Look at the media. Which part of the world is there? Within a second the fitna spreads. The news spreads in such a way. After 5 minutes another piece of news will come. Press the screen, refresh. Another piece of news will come. Refreshed. Every second the world is changing, progressing. This is happening here now, this will happen there now, this is happening over there. The world within a second is changing its focus. For years things were planned before. This will happen to this country, this will happen. Every 5 minutes now things progress. A new piece of news, progression. Is there no bigger fitna than this in the world today? And to be safe from the fitna of the world, there's one cure: dhikr Allah wa sunnate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. If you want to be safe today, O Ummah, then learn this today. There's no other, we have no issue with any society, with religion. We have no argumentation with any peoples, any country, any religion, any tribe. Astaghfirullah, who are we to disrespect people, criticize, look down? We are worse ourselves. We want protection ourselves. May Allah protect us from shar, from evil, from wrong things. That's why we do practice on sunnah and dhikr. We are not opposing any way of life, any culture, any, everyone, mashallah, enjoy yourselves, do what you want. We have no problem with anybody. We are not against anybody. We want protection from those, the evil effects of bad things in the world that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed to us, the solutions. And this is our attempt and our striving and our amal, and we have no other objective. We have no other objective. We have no negative vibes against anyone. But those who are donkeys, don't want to do anything, they will stay like that. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's two blessed sunnahs, beautiful sunnahs. In Tirmidhi Sharif, there's a hadith in which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, Subhanallah, glory be to Allah, that most of all, what is beloved to me, I like the white color, say Subhanallah. Rasulullah Sarkar, and you're sleeping, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. The Prophet of Allah, Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's words, what did he state? Most beloved to me, the color that I like the most, that I prefer the most is white. He didn't say don't wear any other color. No, it's your choice. Your choice. Here, what the style, the style of our, of Allah's Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He didn't say don't wear any other color. No, no clash with anyone. No clash. He just told us his liking. And the Ashik, when he hears of the liking of his beloved, then is he foolish that he'll speak about another color? Tell me. Tell me. That does he need to be given dalil? Proof? Does Akal understand this? Tell me. Do you need dalil? Proof? Proof? If your Mahbub, your beloved, says, I like mangoes. If you love that person and she's or he is your beloved, you'll say, why do you like mangoes? Tell me why. That person spoke about mangoes. You'll run from India, the mangoes, Japanese mangoes. You'll find them, feed them to your beloved, and you eat yourself. You'll say, I love them myself, because your beloved likes them. Tell me, isn't this the case? Myself, if I hear what is the thing that my beloved likes, suddenly I will grab them. That, for example, there are vegetables. There's a person who never eats okra. Okra, he didn't like okra, lady's fingers. He got married and his wife loved lady's fingers or okra. And I met him some days ago and he said, oh, I really like okra, really tasty. I said, Subhanallah. Eh? Straight away I remembered the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam just said this, that I like the white color the most. And this is the libas of the ashiqeen, the lovers of Allah. They don't say, oh, why do you wear this color? Don't wear that color. No, don't criticize. Don't look down. This is about ishq, your love. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, amal on his sunnah is solely, purely due to love and mahbubiyat. Due to the love of Rasulullah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So say Subhanallah loudly. Say it loudly. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So if we want to do the action that is beloved to Rasulullah, we should say, no, why don't I make my life based on love for the Prophet Muhammad? At least 4 times a week I should wear white color. Okay, 3 times a week I should wear white color. Because the Prophet liked this color and I have another liking, but can I compare my liking to the Prophet? Then what did Nabi say further in this hadith? All of my respectful scholars are here, they will have studied this. Further in the hadith, Nabi said that I like the most the color of white. White color is most preferable to me. Preferable to me, I like white the most. And for this reason, most from all of the libas, the most haseen libas, beautiful libas is the white libas. Subhanallah. So if you want to go to a wedding, what do you say? I want to dress up nicely, beautifully. Yeah? In a smart way, you go to meet someone. Yar, bring my libas. I want a tie or a suit. I want to be smart. Isn't it? When there's a wedding, you get invited. Then 1 week before, you start to talk. What should we wear in the wedding? You start wearing the libas. I want to wear this. And you call from Pakistan, kadai. You do this. And there's decoration, ornaments. And I'll go to this wedding. This, I'll go to Indonesia. I'll wear this suit. I'll go to this country, meet these people. I'll wear this attire. I'll wear this color. We do this, don't we? We discuss it. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that from all the colors, I love white. And the most beautiful, what is the most beautiful color? Is the white color. And the most beautiful libas is the white libas. And further here, if Nabi Al-Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is stating that from all of the libas, I like the white libas the most, then that person, if he wears white libas, white attire, then how beautiful will he seem or look in the eyes of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Say Subhanallah again. Subhanallah. Will he not look beautiful and smart? If I say that, for example, if I say something that I like this shoe or these shoes the best, and when I wear those shoes and when somebody else wears those shoes and five or six other people are stood, where will my eyes go? That this person is wearing the shoes that I like. Is this not the case? Yes, obviously. So in the whole universe, when this whole universe, people, Rahmatul Alameen, who are linked to the Rahmatul Alameen, the mercy to the universe, and when our rewards go every Monday and every Monday and every Thursday when our deeds are presented, and the Prophet ﷺ sees our deeds, then who will the Prophet ﷺ look towards? Those who wear white libas, white attire. Subhanallah, will he not? That he's wearing according to my liking. Not this that he doesn't like other colors. No, these are the people I like the most. They're wearing the white libas, the white color. So my brothers, this is one hadith I've shared with you. The rest is your choice. You can decide yourself, is it mustahib, sunnah muakkada, ghayr muakkada, who proved this? You can go into debates. We speak about the ashiks, the lovers of Rasulullah. We don't know how to debate, and nor do we go into debates. And another sunnah I'd like to share with you, then inshallah we'll start dhikr. Subhanallah. Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa beautiful and blessed sunnah. It's a beautiful sunnah, blessed sunnah. Then when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would retire for the night, then he'd have a few items with him, and he'd have this also, this action, he'd keep this with himself. Now look at the importance, how much importance there must be. Isn't it? What is the item? Surmadani, Subhanallah, say Subhanallah, collarium. You know, like the black eyeliner? Yes, whatever person, he brings that with him when he comes back from Hajj or Umrah. What was that? The surmadani, the collarium, the black powder applied to the eyes, the surma. Yes, like the eyeliner. This was with the Prophet ﷺ next to his bed when he would retire for the night, sleep for the night. And this was a special practice. Allah knows best the hikmah of this, the wisdom of this, the style of this, the beauty of this. But because most of all, who was most beautiful in the universe? The Holy Prophet ﷺ. Allah Jameel, Wallahibul Jamal. Allah Ta'ala said this, isn't it? That most beautiful is who? Allah is most beautiful in the whole of the universe. And what does Allah Ta'ala love the most? Allah loves Jamal and beauty. So if this is Allah's standard, then what did Allah do? Allah Ta'ala created His Habib, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say Subhanallah, Allah wanted to create His Habib. So tell me, can there be anybody more beautiful or who had more beauty than the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If Allah wanted to love and call him His beloved and Habib, then how much beauty must Allah Ta'ala have instilled into the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? He would have had so much beauty that we cannot imagine. Or see, he had so much beauty that nobody saw his beauty in this world. In reality, this was reality. His beauty was hidden behind the veils. Allah Ta'ala, if He wanted to remove that beauty from behind the veils, He could have. But Allah said, I made that beauty for myself. Only I can see His beauty. You can never absorb His beauty, says Allah. Subhanallah. So Allah says, you will see me in the hereafter, and you will see the beauty of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hereafter. And this is called haqiqate Muhammadi, the reality of Muhammad, and no one can see this Jamal in this world. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha saw a flash of it, she asked, she guessed this was his beloved husband, and she said a few words, and just within a second, a minute flash was exposed. And Hazrat Aisha went unconscious. Rasulullah's beauty was exposed for a minute second, and she fell unconscious. She could not absorb it. She could not witness it. And imagine the benefit. This much karam upon us, the mercy, that Rasulullah liked something, and he said that you can also do this. You can also do this. So this is the surma dali, the pot of surma, the pot of collyrium, the black powder. And this is the sunnah. If we practice it the way that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it, then we can say we are doing it in the sunnah way. So the method to apply surma, the best way to put on surma, you can apply it anyway. But the sunnah method to apply the surma, the collyrium, is when? At the time of night. Night time. When? In the night time. And how should we apply it? So we can't follow our ways, the tariqah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to do it in that way. Apply it in that way. There were two styles, two methods of applying the surma. There were two methods, techniques, or styles in which the Prophet ﷺ applied surma. The first technique, the first method, the Prophet ﷺ would take the applicator and start from the right side. Nabi ﷺ would dip the applicator in the surma and wipe it on the right eye. Then dip it in the surma and wipe it to the left eye. Then dip it in the surma, wipe it to the right eye. Then dip it in the surma and apply it to the left eye. So that's two to the right, then two to the left. Then dip it into the applicator of the surma and wipe it to the right eye. Then dip it into the surma and wipe it to the left eye. So three and three in between dipping into the surma. That was the first method. The second method, sometimes Nabi Sallam wouldn't do three and three alternately. Rather, Nabi Sallam would apply two wipes to the right eye, dipping in between to the surma, and then two to the left eye, and then the final dip into the surma, and Nabi Sallam would apply to the right and to the left. Say Subhanallah. These are the two methods to apply surma, my brothers. When you apply surma to the eyes, then use this method. The fawaid, the benefits, the wisdoms, don't run after them. Just say, Allah, I'm grateful to you, you've given me the tawfiq that I am fulfilling the sunnah of your Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The rest, you know, what are the benefits? We don't know. All we know, this is the fadl of Allah, that what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked, we have been given, and we are practicing. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.